This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the new Prologue EV, there's a lot that could impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
We're in the midst of the Big Ten Media Days, a three-day event from Indianapolis, Indiana. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Jonathan Zaslow is filling in for Ian tonight. There is no more Jim Harbaugh, Zaz, in the Big Ten, so all eyes turn to Ryan Day, and he knows that there's a lot of pressure on him this season. He's certainly the man who everyone's paying attention to when he's in front of the mic this week as well. Ryan Day sat down with our very own Ian Fitzsimmons, who is there live for Big Ten Media Days. Here's some of that.
Well, let's just get this out of the way. Every time I see you, I get beard envy. I mean, good gosh, man. Things perfect. How do you do it?
It's not perfect, but I've had it now for a few years, so we got to keep it nice and strong. Your game looks pretty good.
I got a little more, how do you say, age here, Coach, than you do.
Well, no, I got a few that have popped in there.
This offseason, compared to any other with the expansion, what was different for you personally?
Well, it started with the guys decided to come back. I mean, that was the big part of this whole thing. And then, you know, having an opportunity to go out and, you know, fill some holes in the portal was critical. But, you know, you either be a leader in this space or you don't. And, you know, we had an opportunity to do that because of the great community in Buckeye Nation that was able to help us in this and create the resources we need to get those guys to come back and add a few more pieces down the stretch.
The pieces you added. We had Q Judkins several times at Ole Miss. He did things that we haven't seen since Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson in the SEC. Caleb, as you laugh, right? I mean, it's the fact. Caleb Downs, you know, Will Howard. When you talk about putting those pieces in, how much better is your football team coming into camp?
Well, we'll see. But we've had a really good offseason. I think when you look at the coaching staff, when you look at the leaders, when you look at the guys, it's a close group. They're moving around with urgency. They're moving around with a purpose. But they also know that, you know, everyone wants to talk about what happened at the end of the season. They want to talk about the playoffs. They want to talk about it. But that has nothing to do with anything. We got to have a great preseason, and that's what's going to matter because all of those things are going to add up. I even use the example of the Olympics. You know, you don't see all the work that's put in. All you do is see that one moment. Well, it's going to be the same way for us down the stretch. And so, you know, we'll go to play, you know, in some of these big games during the year. It's going to be how good has our preseason been. And I think we've had a good summer. So, you know, it's got to go put it on the field. But talent won't be enough. We have talent, but that won't be enough.
What have you tweaked maybe in the last year or so as you nod your head compared to other years just to get back to where you belong?
Well, I think you got to have the right people in the right seats. You know, when you look at the team. Making sure you have the right people in there and then being aggressive as you possibly can in recruiting, putting a roster together. The staff is different. You know, having Chip in there is going to be different. And having
What's that like?
Yeah.
Switch seats.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. We got a long season ahead of us, but that was different. We made some decisions like, you know, for instance, having a quarterback as a dual threat. You know, we haven't had that the last couple of years. And there's a few things in there that we've, you know, made decisions on in the offseason, and we're counting on those to make a difference.
Ryan Day, head coach, Ohio State, here with us on ESPN Radio. You got some travel, too. Just as a fan of the Gary game, as an ambassador of the game, what's this going to be like, this new journey and this new look Big Ten?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. You know, it is a few, you know, or a couple hours, a little bit longer on the plane, but that's okay. You know, we're going to travel and we're going to handle it, and they do it in the NFL, so, you know, we're not going to make it a bigger deal than it needs to be. And there are some different changes, like the tablets and coach-to-player communication, the playoffs and all those things. But ultimately, it's still going to come down to the game of football. It's going to come down to run the football, stop and run, taking care of the football.
Steve Sarkisian told us at SEC Media Days he's not going to be in Quinn Ewers' ear a lot. It may just be a reminder, remind C.J. Baxter, your running back, hey, watch that edge, right? Things like that. How much do you think you all would be in whomever is your starting quarterback here? Because you have competition there also.
Well, Chip used it in the offseason, he really liked it. You know, and he done it in the NFL as well. So he knows what it's like. And you know, a lot of those guys don't want to have too much in their head, but, you know, they are able to give them a little more information than they would in the past. So, you know, we'll get a feel for, you know, how the quarterbacks like getting the information in. And Chip's always had a good handle on that, you know, and the fact that he's coaching the quarterbacks with him every day, they'll have a good relationship that way.
All right, maybe the most important question. Tommy's Pizza. it's gone, man. Now, the one in Upper Arlington's still there, right? One on campus is, but that's the original. So the moment that sign went up, I mean, a little tear?
There's still Tommy's Pizza in Columbus, though. So let's not sound the alarm just yet. We just got to regroup a little bit, but it's not extinct. It's still alive, and it still gets delivered to the Day household. I can promise you that.
You're the best, man. Good to see you again.
All right, you got it.
Again, that was Ian Fitzsimmons sitting down with Ryan Day. Ian's not here because he is at Big Ten Media Days this week. An expanded Big Ten Conference, an expanded Media Days. It's now a three-day event there in Indianapolis, Indiana. So the pressure is very squarely in the Big Ten on Ryan Day and on Ohio State, and largely because Ohio State needs to beat Michigan because Jim Harbaugh is not there any longer, who won three straight Big Ten titles and a man who just won a national title. And so the field feels wide open, but also the attention turns to one guy in one program who you feel like is in a position to get it done. It's not totally dissimilar, Zaslo filling in for Ian tonight. It's not totally dissimilar to what's happening in the SEC because Nick Saban, he retires, same sort of thing. The difference here is that it's not Bama who's been on top, right, in the SEC of late. Like, that's Georgia, who's been a little bit more dominant. So as great as Nick Saban has been, you could argue he didn't retire at the very, very top of the game. So there's not necessarily a changing of the guard in the SEC like we're going to have to inevitably see in the Big Ten.
Well, when it comes to pressure, I think Ryan Day's got a couple things working against him, all right? Number one, hasn't beaten Michigan in a while. We're going back to 2019. So you got that working against you.
Right.
Number two, not only has he not beaten Michigan in a while, but Michigan also went out and won the national championship last year. So that's two. And number three, Harbaugh's left. And there's a lot of turnover with this Michigan team this year. So you got the pressure of needing to beat Michigan. You got the pressure of Michigan also won the national title after beating you last year. And then the pressure of, oh, by the way, now maybe this is a down year for Michigan. You better get it done.
And you have new schools now in the Big Ten. One of those schools is Oregon. They're coming for you. So you're concerned about that if you're Ohio State as well. So then the question becomes, one that was floated today on Carlin versus Joe by our old own Paul Feinbaum, where he's asked the question, if you had to take Georgia and Ohio State or the field to win a national championship, where do you go? Here's Feinbaum.
I would take Georgia and Ohio State. I think those two are standalone. Now, there's some really good programs after that. I think Oregon is the next best. But I don't know how much I want to trust Oregon in a playoff, considering what happened last year against Washington twice. But beyond that, I mean, there's nobody really in Georgia and Ohio State's league from a roster standpoint. Schedules are difficult, but schedules don't matter as much this year because of the 12-team playoff.
It's an interesting question because the field is so big in college football.
Great question. I love this question. I love this kind of stuff. Georgia and Ohio State, or the field. Amber
for
Wilson.
For a national title.
Amber Wilson, I'll take the field.
Really?
I will take the field. That's right. Paul Feinbaum's taking Georgia, Ohio State, and I understand the rationale there, but we're talking 12-team playoff. We're talking now needing to win at least three games, not two, to win the national championship. And if you don't get the bye, then you got to win four games. Now, of course, Georgia should win the SEC, I suppose. Ohio State, I guess, should win the – I don't know. Maybe not should win.
It's not as if they've been doing it.
Right, right. So if that's the case, then Ohio State's in a spot where I think a lot of people think, all right, they need to win four games then to win the national championship. Georgia, at least three. So you know what? I'm going the field then if that's the case. This is brand new for everybody. There could be a little bit of, you know, figuring out how to win a 12-team college football playoff. This is the first time this has ever happened. What a time to be alive. So I'm going the field. I'm going the field instead of Georgia, Ohio State.
I mean, even inside those own conferences, I mentioned Oregon, obviously, nipping at the heels of Ohio State, according to the odds makers. Texas in the SEC. By the way, they are now in the SEC. Like, those changes there in those two conferences with the additions of those two schools. So certainly a changing landscape across college football. I think statistically speaking, from a mathematical perspective, you place the safer bet because you've got an entire field.
I don't know. Feinbaum answered it pretty quick.
Well, it's because the way I think that we've seen things unfold in college football traditionally. Traditionally, if your money is on the powerhouses that you know are going to have excellent seasons, you're probably in a pretty good spot. But that was also before an expanded playoff system and before conference realignment and before everything that we've seen with the transfer portal and even with NIL. It's kind of the wild, wild west out there in terms of everything and also in terms of predictions in college football as well. So a heck of a question there posed by Carlin versus Joe. Coming up next here, which I think, by the way, was Joe and Myron today. Coming up next here on ESPN Radio. A couple of guys think they could have been the greatest ever if not for injuries.
Coach?
We'll get into that on ESPN Radio.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneylines. All from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
To make our guesses quite soon about Tunes Tuesday here on Amber and Ian. Zaslow's filling in for Ian tonight. You can find him at Zaslow Show. You can find me, Amber Wilson, at Amber W Sports. Our associate producer, Rachel Robinson, she's got a theme with the music on Tuesdays. We have to guess it. Headed your way in about 15 minutes from now. We'll recap all the music on tonight's show. If you want to take your guesses, you can always tweet to us at ESPN Radio. But before we get to that, Zaslow, we've got to unpack something that a couple really excellent players said, one of them near and dear to our hearts as Miami Heat fans, and that is our very own Dwayne Wade. He's still ours, right?
A good player.
Even though he owns the Jazz or whatever, he's still ours. So Dwayne Wade, he was on Carmelo Anthony's podcast, 7 p.m.
Everyone's
in
got
Brooklyn
a podcast.
With Mello and Mero, which, I mean, all right, guys, maybe we shorten the name up a little bit, whatever. The point is, it's Mello's podcast. And the Basketball Hall of Famer had some interesting things to say about where he thinks his career could have gone. Take a listen.
I had to run it back because I was like, no one has ever really, they don't understand my game, right? Like, you don't know what I did.
Right.
I did so many different things and I played so many different roles. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm not the greatest shooter of all time. I'm not the greatest this, but I was great at so many different things. And Mello talked about it. Then I learned how to be great at being a role player. Then I learned how to be, you know, and so I learned how to be great at all these things. And no one knows how to really break down my game. So they look over it and they just go to, you know, one or two things. But I did so many things in the game of basketball. So, yeah, I mean, when I had it, I had it. I thought I was going to be, before injuries, I'm like, MJ, I'm coming for you.
MJ, I'm coming for you. So Dwayne Wade thought that he was on the trajectory, Zaslow, of, you know, the low and reasonable bar of the greatest who have ever played the game.
Well, I think that he's saying that before the injuries, he felt, and you got to remember, these guys have irrational confidence, right? That's how they get to the place that they get to. He is saying that he's saying to himself, I'm trying to, essentially he's saying, I'm trying to become the best ever. And if you go on the timeline, you know, he suffered his first major injury there in the middle of his fourth year in the league. And at this point, he's already an NBA champion. Matter of fact, after the 4 years in the league, he's already an NBA champion who had a better singular NBA finals than Michael Jordan himself ever had. So it sounds like a crazy thing to say, but I can understand the irrational confidence because, you know, I was once a basketball player too. I can understand the irrational confidence.
In junior
that
high,
someone,
you had the same irrational confidence.
That someone in his spot at that young of an age who has already had this much success, I think when you put it in the context, I don't think it's that crazy of a thing for not for people to say, for him to think at that time.
When you were sitting on the bench in high school watching James Jones play basketball against
your team,
irrational confidence like Dwayne Wade. Yes, I can see the correlation between you and Dwayne Wade's experiences here. I get uneasy when anybody wants to thrust themselves into the conversation with Michael Jordan. Like, even saying those words, Michael Jordan, in connection to yourself, if your name is not LeBron James, it seems like a bad idea, right? I mean, that's it. There's one person on this planet that maybe reasonably can throw himself into the same conversation as that man's name. And frankly, Dwayne Wade wouldn't be on the list. It's a very short list. Again, it's LeBron James and that's it. And so Dwayne Wade, I get the confidence. I get that everyone thinks that they're going to be the best. Is there any part of you, even though his career started off the way that it did, is there any part of you that feels like if he didn't dislocate his shoulder in 2006 and didn't have the knee injury in 2007, that Dwayne Wade would have been the greatest to have ever played the game, or even would have been the greatest of his generation, so would have been better than LeBron?
It was actually the other way around, for argument's sake. It was the knee in 05, and it was the shoulder in 7. It was the shoulder in 7. I'm just saying. No one would have thought that. But again, like, I'll harp back on the point. After his third year, because the first big injury came in the fourth year. But after 3 years, after his first 3 years in the league, Dwayne Wade, he was already an NBA champion. He had Shaq next to him at that point. He was a finals MVP. And we were having conversations in my... also, a final performance better than any that Michael Jordan ever had in his 6 championship wins. He probably thought at that point, Amber, especially because he's still playing with Shaq. Remember, Dwayne Wade is making that comment that we just heard on Carmelo Anthony's podcast. He is talking from the perspective of that age, at that time, way back then. So if you just finished your third year in the league, you're already a champion. You're already a finals MVP with an historic finals performance. And you're playing with Shaq. Don't you think that you're on a trajectory to win multiple champions? Like, you're about to go on a run.
Well, he did. He did win multiple championships, not with that iteration of the Heat, but he had to wait six more years.
Right. He had to wait 6 more years. But at that point...
He would have been correct that in your life, you're going to win multiple NBA titles. But multiple ain't what... I mean, there's multiple, and then there's Jordan, right?
Yeah, no, I understand.
There's multiple, and there's Bill Russell. I mean, there's multiple, like, there's levels to this thing in terms of the ring collection, and that's the reality of the situation. And again, I understand what you're saying in terms of the confidence. It's when, I think what you're saying essentially is when your career starts out that hot, then you think it's just going to continue.
It's like, oh,
I'm going to do a lot of it,
and I'm really young. Yeah.
And life comes at you fast, and that's that's true, and I understand that, but... Also, that was just that perspective, because I don't know of anybody else. Were you having legitimate conversations? Because I was not on the air with you back then. I mean, were you at 790, the ticket, early in Dwayne Wade's career. Were you having conversations on air and around that building and your
about
host
him being the
when
best
you
player
were
in the league?
Producer about him being Michael Jordan, not the best player in the league, about him turning into Michael Jordan?
No, not about him turning into Michael Jordan, but the conversation we were having is, who is the best player in the league, Dwayne Wade or Kobe Bryant? That is the conversations we were having.
Right. And that feels a bit more reasonable to me at the time. And then, of course, enter LeBron James and the conversation ends up changing. But from the time that LeBron walked into the league, the conversation was him and Michael Jordan, right? And I just don't feel like with Dwayne Wade, he was ever part of that comparison, frankly, even when things were going so brilliantly for him early on. But he's not the only one that did this recently. He's not the only one that has that same confidence in himself. A guy who's still playing basketball feels like that he would have been that had it not been for injuries. Joel Embiid, the New York Times just did a feature on him. Joel Embiid told the New York Times, "I think I'm that talented. If you think about it, the thing that stopped me all these years is just freak injuries. Every single playoffs, regular season, people falling on my knee or breaking my face twice, it's always freak injuries at the wrong time." Otherwise, he thinks that he would have been the greatest to have ever done it. Zaza, what are we doing?
Joel. Joel. Can you win more than one playoff series in a season?
Quite literally.
I mean,
can you get out of the first round, buddy, before we start talking about the greatest who have ever done it?
I mean, you think you could be the greatest ever. Joel, you've never even been to a conference final. I mean, never. Come on. You know, we're just, it's going to be excuse after excuse. I understand the injuries, all right, but you could have, that's quite the extreme, going from a guy who can't get out of the second round of the playoffs, been in the league 10 years. Can't get out of the second round of the playoffs? So you think that you could have been the greatest of all time? Joel, take a step back.
The confidence is remarkable. I envy the confidence. The confidence is truly remarkable. But Joel, you're making these comments when you haven't done any of the winning. And I get injuries have factored in. But
not
you haven't
even
done
close.
Any of the winning. Even when you've been out there, you not haven't done any close. Of the winning in the postseason. I mean, at least with D Wade, he's having that mindset after winning a championship with Shaq early in his career. Joel,
greatest of all time
round,
at flopping.
Buddy. You've had some time. Coming up next, we've got plenty more to unpack here on ESPN Radio while we recover from that.
Ah, fall Saturdays. The air is crisp. The game is on. Your friends are here, and you're outside on grill duty. The Home Depot knows missing the game is not an option. Thankfully, the Traeger Timberline XL Grill is here to help you play defense and make the most of every Saturday. First up, we've got fans to feed, and the Timberline XL is a real crowd pleaser. It can bake, smoke, sear, fry, and saute, so you can feed everyone at the watch party. Whether you want sweet, tangy ribs, jalapeno poppers with a smoky kick, grilled street corn, or some classic buffalo wings, this utility player can do it all. And with Wi-Fire tech and the Traeger app, you can monitor your smoker temp, meat probes, and pellet levels all from the comfort of your couch. So you can watch the game, not the grill, and never miss a moment. Defend your game time with Traeger and the Home Depot. How doers get more done. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/network.
I don't know if I'm ready to guess. I feel like at some point here we have to make our guesses for Tunes Tuesday.
I'm not going to get this one.
You have like 10 minutes to figure it out. Just think real hard, okay?
All right. Well, Rachel has to recap all the songs at some point. Are we going to wait to do that?
Yeah. We'll do it in the next segment.
Okay.
In about 12 minutes.
12 minutes from now.
13, maybe.
All right. 13 minutes from now.
Maybe 15. I don't know.
All right. You're moving the goalpost a lot here. 15 minutes from now. You're going to want to stay tuned because we will reveal what Tunes Tuesday has been about, what the music theme has been tonight on Amber and Ian. Jonathan Zaslow has been filling in for Ian tonight. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. What do we do at this time? The totally original segment no one has ever thought of before. We find out what is a big deal and what is not a big deal.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
And our producer, James Steele. Hello, James.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, James.
Hi. Hey. Hey, guys. Paul Skeens picked up his first loss tonight.
He was awesome. He sucks now.
He was awesome.
He went
8 1/3 innings.
Failure.
Gave up. No, it's not him that's the failure. Gave up 4 hits, 2 runs, had 8 strikeouts.
Could he give up just 1 run?
Six
gave
and
up
one
a couple
now.
Hits there.
Yeah, 4 in 8 1/3 innings.
Listen, that's
you can say all the bad things.
One
you want
of those
about
runs were in the ninth. Sounds like a choke to me.
All right, the Pirates are terrible. Paul Skeens is really good.
Why is he still out there in the ninth?
6 and 1. Yeah, it's crazy. He
was
only at 100.
We can't let him. We can't let him go after a no-no. But we're gonna have him out there in the ninth.
He was pretty efficient tonight. He went into the ninth with less than 100 pitches, so that's the reason why he went back out there. It was 1-1.
Efficient at losing is what he was efficient at.
Got into some trouble and couldn't get out of it. He's 6-1 now, 1.93 ERA, had 8 strikeouts tonight. Big deal, not a big deal, Zaz, that Paul Skeens picks up his first loss of the season.
I'm going big deal. He gave up a run in the ninth inning. He gets his first loss of the season. I feel like it can only be downhill from here, Amber Wilson. I'll go big deal.
That's the thing, is there's only one way to go when you're at the top, and your first loss can lead to a slippery slope of losses. Presumably, there will be more losses in his career. That's pretty much a fact. That's hard to argue with. So this is the first of many, no matter how good he ends up being. So yeah, it's a big deal. Slippery slope, James. Do you feel also that is this a Pirates effect? Like, do you feel like it's... As a Pirates fan, do you feel like of course this is where the skid starts happening?
So I was bullied today via text message into betting on a Pirate future of them making the playoffs.
You fell for the rope-a-dope.
By producers Ryan Matlack and Nick Carty, and it figures
they're only a game back.
Yeah, I mean it figures though that I do that, and then Paul Skeens gets his first loss of the season.
That sounds right.
Listen, I'm pretty.
So really, this is your fault.
Listen, I'm my expectations are tempered because I know what happens here in 4 or 5 seasons. Whenever he is set to get paid, and
you
they can't
say
and
that,
won't.
But that's like in 4 or 5 seasons. Yeah. Like, all right. I mean, what, you can't enjoy the ride until then? That's not. It's not exactly next season or tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're going to have this kid for a while.
Yeah, I get it. But I also know, like, I got invested the last time they were rebuilding, and they went to 3 straight wild card games. I went to the first playoff game in Pittsburgh in 25 seasons. It was awesome. I was so in. I was so invested. And then, they won 97 games, and the next year they were like, it's going to be a bridge year. And they haven't been good since. So, like, I know where this is going. I'm not going to, like, they broke my heart. I was sad for years about it. I was way angrier than I am now about it a couple years ago. And so that's it. I just know where it goes. Like, why should I get invested in that when I know what's going to happen? Where Paul Skeens is going to get paid $50 million a year.
Skeens, that's why.
When he's set to be paid like $50 or $60 million a year.
Well, this is a real pick me up for Pirates and Paul
Skeens.
This is
so depressing.
Fans.
Do you want to talk about it? He's probably going to have Tommy John's in the next few years too. Because
I'm not
going to
go that far. You see how he warms up? He's crazy with the warm. Maybe he's going to be immune to it. But anyway,
well, they say he has less usage too at the lower levels than.
So, but I know where this is going. So I'm not going to get super invested in it. And I'll enjoy it if they're good.
Real glass half full kind of approach. All right.
Glass like pretty much empty is my approach. That's how I am.
See, people think I'm being mean when I say James Steele loves misery.
Yeah, I hate everything.
Oh no,
pretty much everything.
No, it's fairly obvious. He's wearing it.
Exactly.
Listen, my heart was broken. The Pirates have broken my heart,
well,
and I just haven't recovered.
Had one.
As the San Francisco 49ers reported for training camp on Tuesday, General Manager John Lynch again reiterated that wide receiver Brandon Ayuk remains in the team's plans. Despite his recent trade request, we fully intend on Brandon being a Niner moving forward. We're always open to listen to things, but like I said, we expect Brandon to be an integral part of our team like he has been, and excited about that. After an offseason of contract negotiations that have yet to yield a lucrative contract extension, Ayuk formally requested a trade last week, but the Niners have been steadfast in their position that they want to keep Ayuk in 2024. He did report to camp, so I don't know what's happening there, but he's there. They intend to keep him still. That's what they say. Amber, big deal, not a big deal.
Okay, so this is actually a big deal, because if you actually listen to the sound from today with John Lynch, the tone was unusual, or at least I took it as unusual, Zaslo, because I've been thinking this whole time, there's no way that they're going to trade away Brandon Ayuk. He's too important to what they do. They're trying to win another Super Bowl this season. Even if you're not going to pay him, you keep him around, right? And then you worry about it after that because of the position they're in terms of what they're going after. And because they basically have the power in this situation. He doesn't have a no trade clause. He doesn't have a no franchise tag, all that stuff that we talk about when it comes to, say, a Dak Prescott type, right? So I've been under the impression that they're not going to move on from him. Fine, that's what John Lynch is saying here. But at the same time, if you listen to the sound, even in that quote that James just gave you, he said, we're always open to listening to stuff, right? He like threw that in there, even though he kept saying, you know, we're planning to move forward with Ayuk. And then he was directly asked by a reporter about the fact that when Bosa was up for his extension, John Lynch was willing to say, no, like, that's never happening. You know, we're absolutely not trading him away. We're not listening to any offers or whatever. And he was unwilling to say that. Even when he was directly asked about it with Ayuk, he was like, yeah, well, I felt that way at the time about Bosa. He was very obviously unwilling to go that next step with Brandon Ayuk. I thought that was interesting, Zaz, because that actually left me believing that there is some room for negotiation in terms of other teams fielding offers, seeing what else is out there, that maybe at some point they would consider moving on from him, which I was a bit surprised by at this point.
Amber, I totally thought the same thing. You know, if you had asked me a couple days ago, I had the impression that, all right, Brandon Ayuk, he would like a trade, and they're like, okay, we'll see you when camp opens up next week. Doesn't matter to us. You know, you're not going anywhere. And there was a lot of room left for interpretation from those comments right there. I could see a scenario now where they wind up moving on from him. But I would tell you, though, why can't they essentially do what we saw the Rams do with Matthew Stafford, right? Where it's just, all right, we're going to give you a little bit more money, you know, for this year, and then we're going to kind of kick the can down the road. Now, I don't know what their cap situation is exactly. Maybe there is no money left available. But if there were, why can't they just guarantee him more money right now? Because, listen, we're not trading you. You're not going anywhere. But we do want you to be happy. We know you're underpaid. We're not ready to talk about an extension yet, but we are going to give you more money right now, and let's deal with this at a later date. Like, why can't they do that?
Well, Brandon Ayuk is 26 years old. Matthew Stafford is 36 years old, right? I mean, it's a stark difference, obviously, difference in positions and all that sort of stuff. But the real issue here is that Brandon Ayuk wants an extension, not just because he wants the money this season, because frankly, he's getting paid this season regardless. He wants the longevity. He wants the security, and he wants the big dollars for years to come. So I don't think even if you're Ayuk, you're agreeing to that. Like, what's the point of that? Like, all right, so you're going to toss me a few more bucks? No, I want the actual extension here. It's a little different than Stafford, who's under contract either way through 2026. And again, 36 years old. So Stafford's like, all right, I just like, fine, but give me more money now, you know, and we'll retool things. The retooling isn't as easy when you're talking about a 26-year-old. And when Ayuk seen the wide receiver market go to the places that it has gone to, and so now he's underpaid essentially at that position on a per annual basis. I understand,
like, the Browns,
both sides, but
the Browns kind of did the same thing that I'm suggesting with Ayuk. Like, the Browns gave Amari Cooper today an extra, they guaranteed him the $20 million that are currently left on his contract that wasn't necessarily guaranteed. He's getting an extra $5 million raise in incentives, and he's still going into, now I know he's not as young as 26, he's a few years older than that, but he is still going into the final year of his contract, Amari. Yeah, but he is still going into the final year of his contract, Amari Cooper, and he definitely wants one more big contract. Well, the Browns, they're not giving him a long-term contract right now. They're going to kick that can down the road, but to make the player happy, they just gave him a bit more money right now. I feel like they could do that with Ayuk. I don't know.
But wait, is that going to make him happy? Because, I mean, the whole issue here, again, is after the season, right? Like, is that going to make him happy? He wants the bag. He doesn't want just a little bit more now. So I don't know if that keeps him happy. It's not, it doesn't seem like he's holding out either way. So I don't know what the situation is, but I did think that was interesting. The tone of it from John Lynch.
I picked up on that too.
Yeah. All of a sudden I'm starting to think, oh, okay. So maybe they are kind of open for business a little bit. I'm not suggesting that he's going to get traded, but maybe it's a little bit more plausible than
I could see it now.
I had originally thought it would be. James.
Yeah, I have one more real quick. This is something my wife can't stop talking about. She's told me about it like 100 times in the past couple days. Celine Dion is expected to make her return to music with a performance at the opening ceremony for the Paris Olympics this Friday, according to Variety. That's big deal, not a big deal. Celine Dion making a comeback.
That's a very, well, I don't know if she's making a comeback, but that's a very big deal. I mean, listen, what a song. That's a big deal. Come on, what a voice.
Well, it's a big deal also because she's battling stiff person syndrome, right? So she's been very sick. So that's one of the reasons that she hasn't been performing and she hasn't been partaking in music. She also, has she performed much since she lost her husband those years ago? I don't know. I know she buried a husband, the father of her children and all of that. And then she had stiff person syndrome. So Celine Dion's been through it. I would say overall, yeah, it's a big deal. Obviously, she's a phenomenal singer, phenomenal voice. I mean, I dare you to say something different than that, James. Dare you.
No, she was supposed to tour a couple of years ago. My wife was going to go with one of her friends in Pittsburgh. It kept getting canceled. I think at first it was COVID. And then there was a couple other times, but she couldn't do it because she was sick. She kept saying it was the flu. But it was this stiff person syndrome. Lisa says that there's a documentary out about it right now, and it's phenomenal, I guess. So something to watch.
Lisa also strikes me as somebody who thinks like everything regarding Celine Dion is phenomenal. She even made you go to a Celine Dion concert once, if I recall.
She didn't make me.
Oh, right.
I did. I did because I love her.
Right,
and I got her.
Right.
It was a wedding present.
Is that the one show you went to that you're like embarrassed to tell people you went to?
No, I don't think I'm embarrassed because I did it for my wife.
He's saying all the right things.
I love her.
Must be tuned in right now.
You're saying it with a lot of bass in your voice.
Because I love her.
Really
that was like the second or third "I love her" that he hit us with.
I wouldn't have done it otherwise. That's for sure. But you know, I mean, I didn't enjoy it. A lot.
Sound a little embarrassed.
But it's fine. She loved it. She still talks about it. She wanted to go see her again. So.
Yeah, I'm sure
you
she's
do
phenomenal.
Too.
Not my thing. Clearly.
I'm sure she's phenomenal in person. I'm sure her concerts are pretty phenomenal, obviously. Her voice is top notch. All right, coming up next here on Amber and Ian. That's all I got on Celine Dion. She's phenomenal, Zaz. I mean, I don't know. Nobody's gonna argue with that,
right?
I'm not gonna
say anything negative. You're not getting that
out of
me.
No one's gonna say a damn thing negative about Celine Dion. Coming up next, Tunes Tuesday. It will be revealed. Plus, also, is Zazlo un-American? That's all next here on ESPN Radio.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
Tunes Tuesday. Amber and Ian.
So this is part of Tunes Tuesday. Apparently, this is the last song in Tunes Tuesday as Rachel Robinson, our associate producer, is cracking herself up with this submission for Tunes Tuesday. So every Tuesday when Rachel is in, we have a music theme that she chooses, and she plays music all throughout the show, and we're supposed to guess at the end of the show here on Amber and Ian. Zaslow's filling in for Ian tonight. We're supposed to guess what the musical theme was, and it becomes increasingly more difficult because also it's hard to just even pay attention to the
music. I have not done a good
job. When you're doing
tonight.
A sports radio show, it's very, very hard, frankly. So Rachel, why don't you give us a quick recap of the songs that we have heard.
All right, so I do need you guys to know before I get into the list that the only reason that this is the theme for tonight is because I wanted to replay two of the songs from last night, and I wanted to play this final song. But it is a little more complicated than I expected it to be because our esteemed program director, Mike Urinaga, decided that I should make it a little more difficult for you guys. So if you don't get it, you can blame him. All right, so we started out with Pharrell Williams, Happy. Then we went Jay-Z, Alicia Keys, Empire, State of Mind. Bob Marley's Don't Worry, Be Happy. CCR, don't know why I couldn't read that. Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Frozen, Let It Go. Prince, Purple Rain. Luke Combs, Ain't No Love in Oklahoma. Miranda Lambert, I Ain't in Kansas Anymore. Remember, those were from Twister. That has nothing to do with it. I just want to mention that as many times as possible. And, finally, we have the one and only Animaniacs, the Capitals song. What do you guys got for me?
Go ahead, Zaslow. Save us.
I got
Take
nothing.
Take it away.
I got nothing. I don't know. I got nothing.
City.
It's too hard.
I thought for a while there you were going for a rain theme because of Purple Rain, and then there's rain references. There's numerous weather references in all of the songs that she was playing. And so I thought it was like a weather or like rain theme for a little bit. And then the last few songs didn't have any weather references. So that can't be it. There was a moment there where I thought it was a state of mind type thing. Like a mental thing, like a state of mind.
Okay, so if you take that sentence you just said and put it together with the last three songs, specifically that last song, what does your sentence end?
Capital state of mind? A New York state of mind?
Well, that was the name of one of the songs.
But that's only one of the songs.
You're so close.
Like a big city state of mind? A New York state of mind is an actual phrase. Like, I don't.
All right, so.
Capital state of mind.
The theme was states.
States.
Just states.
State of mind. So
we did state of mind for the first hour. And then Urinaga came up with states of liquid. So we did rain because it's raining. And then frozen.
Wow.
Let It Go. Yeah, it was really deep today.
Yeah,
and then
Urinaga wanted us to have zero chance of guessing this properly.
I hope he's
director.
Proud of himself.
And then we had Oklahoma, Kansas, and then obviously the states and their capitals.
Yeah, like the actual states, those would have been, if we had just gone with an actual state theme the whole show, I think Zazzo and I would have gotten it, frankly. But throwing in.
Too easy, guys. It was too easy.
Plus, also,
didn't realize
state of substances. I mean, what? It's chemistry class all of a sudden. What are we doing?
I didn't realize we were working with a Riddler. I mean,
if it makes you feel better, I'll really pull the curtain back here. After the first second song, I think you're not gonna text me to see if I had changed the theme.
Even he didn't know what it was.
He forgot his own theme.
Yeah, it was so hard. He suggested it, and then he forgot about it.
Because I mean, liquid. I mean, rain. Like, I'm supposed to guess it's a state of like, what?
I mean, come to work here. I'm doing a radio show. I got to also do a puzzle in the middle.
Right. You have to do a riddle. You have to figure out a riddle in the middle of us doing a sports radio show where we're also responsible to quite literally know everything that's happened in sports across the entire nation over the last 24 hours.
But hold on. Let me also stop and solve a crime while we're at it. I mean, it's too much.
SVU was on earlier. We could have given you a crime to solve.
I mean, that would have been easier. I think I would have had an easier time solving a crime. I was almost there. I got to state of mind, but I mean, the whole liquid thing. And you guys, once you go full chemistry lab on us, I'm a little screwed.
Terrible.
It's really
it's
bad.
Too hard.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know if I have time to get into this whole Summer League championship. I mean, I guess we got to give it a little time here. Zaslow,
oh, that was exciting last night right after we got off the air. I was into it last night, Amber Wilson. Summer League champs, hang up that banner.
Yeah, hang up the banner, put it in the rafters. The Miami Heat, once again, are the best. They are the summer league champions. We make a big deal
I got into
out of
it.
The G League team if you're the Heat.
I was and into it. And you know what can I tell you? Can I also, in all seriousness, so the game goes to overtime, all right? And they don't do an extra 5 minutes in the summer league. They do that Elam ending where there's a target score. So they add 7 points, and it's the first team to get to the added 7 points. You're guaranteed a game winner, you know? And so the Heat second-round pick, Pelle Larsson, ended up hitting a runner, and that was the game winner, and they won by two. It was a great finish. I think this Elam ending, I think that's something they should consider strongly for the regular season.
Stop.
Amber, 5 more minutes in a regular season game? You're adding a half a quarter. It's too much. I would consider adding that for the regular, not playoffs, for the regular season. I would do it. I'd consider it. It's exciting. You get a game winner every time.
A target score?
Yeah.
That's how we're
going
to conduct the NBA regular? Stop.
Yeah.
But Miami Heat, champs once again.